This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Chuang and Xiaoning. It is 7:19 in the morning, Thursday, the 24th of October, and we are running a poll on the BFM Twitter account, that's at BFM Radio, because Malaysia predicts a 4.8% GDP growth in 2020, while the IMF predicts a 4.4% growth instead. Now we're asking you, is our government too optimistic? Do let us know what you think. We've had about 30 votes so far, and right now the overwhelming majority of voters say, yes, our government is indeed too optimistic, 70% of the vote. So we'll be taking a look at the results of that throughout the rest of the morning. Do let us know what you think. But first, here's this story. So according to Kazanah, the loss-making national carrier Malaysia Airlines needs about 1 billion ringgit of capital per year if the government intends to sustain its operations under the current structure. And they've said if the airline were to have a better chance of capturing more revenue, the government would have to inject more money in order to improve its product.
So Kazanah's MD, Dato' Sharul Reza, said that Kazanah's resources are limited and a decision has to be made on whether A, it is going to support aviation via MAS, or B, supporting digital benefits like 5G, or C, a third national car or electric vehicles, or whatever it is that the government wants to push. It's got to basically make a decision on where it wants to spend its pennies, right?
Yeah.
Because obviously that's where we are, pennies, not dollars.
There isn't much fat left.
We don't have Microsoft billions or Facebook's billions, we've got basic pennies to decide what to invest in.
I mean, on a year-to-date, Kazanah has already pumped in 800 million ringgit into this national carrier. Now, it has said that the fund is working with the government to identify the benefits that the airline can provide to the country in terms of economic development and spin-offs. So it's all down to the multiplier effect, right? Because if what happens if Malaysia doesn't have Malaysian airlines? Now, that's the question being asked, whether it is a loss of taxation or a drop in terms of number of passengers coming to Malaysia. On top of it, the MD of Kazanah also said that just addressing the cost efficiency will not resolve the airline's financial woes. Because we've had this conversation many times, right? And it has been done. There's been scrutiny on Malaysia's airline's costs. There's been many things done in terms of frequencies, but yet the airline still doesn't do well. Why is the yield still below that of, let's say, Cathay Pacific or SIA?
So Cheryl is of the opinion that the government should look towards industry consolidation as well as solutions to address overcapacity in the market, because we do have quite an overcrowded market, don't we? He pointed out that in Malaysia alone, there are four carriers, namely Malaysia Airlines, AirAsia, AirAsia X, and Malindo, only catering to a market of about 30 million people. And so he calculated that translates into about 1.7 seats per passenger.
Yeah, that's right. So it's not really domestically that's the issue. It's internationally, right? And you're up against some of the most efficient Middle Eastern carriers like the Qatars and Emirates of this world. And they're very, very well run. And that's no reason why. That is the reason why Malaysia Airlines has to join an alliance, because it can't fend for itself outside on its own. It can't. It just can't.
Well, they're already part of the One World Alliance,
that's right?
Mm-hmm. The question is, how come we are not an aviation hub? Why is it that Singapore or Hong Kong or even Bangkok is an aviation hub? And that's also part of the question, where are we a country where people want to come and visit? So if you want to come and visit, let's say for Thailand, where tourism is almost 20% of your GDP, people want to come and visit the country, you will have people taking the national carrier. But to be fair, Thai Airways is also bleeding money and it's losing, if I'm not wrong, $1 billion this year also. So the aviation industry is nonetheless a tough one.
You know, if you analyse tourist arrivals to Malaysia the last, say, 12 years, you go to the Tourism Malaysia website, you can see the range is between 24 to 27 million visitors every year. It has not altered greatly in the last 12 years, and that's the reason why, right?
And the past couple of years, they've also missed their targets, right? Because they say that they want to bring in, 300,000 or whatever, and it never actually quite materialises.
2014-15, when we had MH370, remember? Mm-hmm. Visit Malaysia year was that year. Had to cancel it, right? Clearly, we've had haze, we've had five buses, right? We've had three airline disasters, and that's without 1MDB even in the mix.
Well, let's hope 2020 is a much better year, because 2020 is our Visit Malaysia year.
It's also Malaysia healthcare tourism year, so yeah. Apparently, Malaysia is a great place for coming for cardiology and fertility.
Yeah, so we do have a very booming medical tourism segment. And if you noticed in Budget 2020 also, this was one of the areas that they did allocate a fair amount of money to, because they want to actually boost this element and have this bring in more people. I think Iskandar is also another area that is rapidly rapidly becoming a hub for medical tourism.
Yeah, so there is a thing called the Big Mac Index for burgers, right? It's the same thing with healthcare, right? You if you have a heart condition, if you go to New York City or Chicago to do your heart condition thing, it's going to cost X amount of $1,000. In Malaysia, it's a fraction of that, right? So while you do your heart, your wife can go shopping. It's great.
Or she could visit the plastic surgeon.
Exactly, right?
Actually, this is something that Thailand used to do very well. But because the Thai baht has appreciated 20-30% against the regional currencies, yeah, Malaysia stands to benefit. But if we go back to Malaysian Airlines, right? I mean, at the moment, what we have read is that Khazanah has basically shortlisted 20 potential investors to become strategic partners of Malaysian Airlines. I mean, this was reported by Dato' Sri Azmin Ali, our Economic Affairs Minister. And from there, they have apparently narrowed it down to 4 candidates to be scrutinised and evaluated further. And I remember Morgan Stanley is involved in this.
Oh yeah, of course. The big global banks, and they just like to get fees, right? But to not be too cynical, they do have a global network. And I think the issue with Khazanah's statements here with 1 billion ringgit every year to keep this thing afloat, right? It might be softening the ground for basically a news announcement that Malaysia will be selling a strategic stake in the carrier to a foreign carrier. And who else was here a few weeks ago than Qatar? Remember?
Well, they claimed they were here to launch their Langkawi to Doha flights.
That's what they say, lah.
4 times a week, by the way.
Yeah, maybe still keeping things under wraps. You never quite
know.
So, Dato' Sri Azmin has said that he hopes the decision for a strategic partner for MAS could be reached by early next year, because apparently the vetting process will be done all through November with feedback to be presented to Khazanah's board of directors. But also this morning in some local business news, there has been some reports around the Port Klang Free Zone, or the PKFZ Master Plan, which aims to increase utilisation of the 380-hectare industrial zone and also transform its 20-hectare commercial component.
So the Transport Minister, YB Anthony Loke, said that the government hopes that PKFZ can remain self-sustainable financially and repay its nearly 4 billion ringgit debt over the next 30 years to the Ministry of Finance. He said that the PKFZ is paying the MOF 220 million ringgit a year under the debt repayment scheme. And this, again, just like 1MDB. Before 1MDB was PKFZ, remember?
And then it's masked. Ongoing saga. It's quite sad to note that all our transportation master plans seem to go away. You know, doesn't seem to go according to plan.
Yeah, because of grubby fingers, lah.
Meanwhile, the PKFZ master plan today is to have higher utilization of PKFZ, obviously, and to ensure all the facilities there are used to the maximum utilization so that it does generate revenue. I think when it was built, there wasn't much planning in terms of what was required. And of course, the construction cost just ballooned out, like all things Malaysian.
So apparently, there's going to be no capital injection given by the government, so the master plan will be funded internally. And I mean, it's worth taking a look at the makeup of this place, because on the 380-hectare industrial zone, PKFZ will be leasing out 256 hectares of open land, as well as 512 light industrial units.
Why wasn't this done initially? Right?
That's the big question.
That's the $64 million question.
I mean, it's like as if at the very onset, when they should have done the feasibility study, or maybe there wasn't a feasibility study, was this all considered? You know, is the question that we keep asking ourselves, because we end up with all these white elephant projects which require additional funding later on or bailouts. And then we don't know what to do with it. Because we've already put in the billions of dollars.
No, we know what to do with it. We get the government to rescue it, and then the taxpayer pays for the rescue, and then we just wash, rinse and repeat.
Which is something we can barely afford when our fiscal deficit continues for the last, 10, 15 years, and we're running a fiscal deficit of 3.4%. We need to narrow that down before we really get downgraded by sovereign rating agencies.
It remains to be seen what's going to happen with the PKFZ. They apparently intend to rebrand their commercial zone, which consists of about 20 hectares of land, into an integrated hub with education as well as lifestyle and hospitality components. So that's going to be an interesting element there too. Right now, though, we are heading into the 7:30 news, and after that, more international stories for you. So be sure to keep it here on The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.